Hallelujah. You know, God is so good. You know, it's an honor to be standing here and to be given the word today. I just want to give thanks to Pastor Paul and Sister Vicky for allowing me the opportunity to share the word with you today. You know, God is really, really good. We're talking about discipleship. And, you know, God has been speaking to my life. He's been directing me. And, you know, I just give him all the glory and all the praise that I can stand here and be able to share with you today. So we're going to be looking at two parts of discipleship today. And I've titled the message, Counting the Cost of Discipleship. Counting the Cost of Discipleship. And we're going to be looking at putting Jesus first in all things. We're also going to be looking at the authority of the believer as well. So I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. So I'm going to be reading from that today. So if you've got a different translation, just listen. Mark down the scriptures if you're taking notes, because we're going on a journey. So I want everybody to place their hand on their heart. I want you to repeat after me. Say, Jesus, prepare my heart for your word. Amen. Hallelujah. So the scripture I'm going to begin with is Mark 8, verse 27. And we're looking from Mark 8. And basically what it is in Mark 8, verse 27, and I'm just going to paraphrase. I've got a lot of scriptures to get through today. So I hope you're ready for some word. Because it's the word that brings life, and it's the word that illuminates, and that's what we want. We want the word to illuminate and to bring light. Amen? So from Mark 8, verse 27, it starts talking about Jesus. He'd just come out of Galilee, and he was walking with his disciples, and he was going to the village of Caesarea Philippi, if I'm pronouncing it right. After leaving Galilee, he's walking with them, and he says to his disciples, he says, who do men say that I am? So he asked them a question, who do men say that I am? And they answer him and say, well, some say you're John the Baptist. Another one says, wait, I know. Some say you're Elijah. And then one of them said, well, no, but maybe another prophet. Some say you're another prophet. So he looks at them and says, but who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? At this point, Peter gets a revelation. He pipes up. He says, I see where you're going. I see where you're going with that. He says, you are the Christ. You are the Christ. See, he got the revelation that he was Jesus, the Son of God. He got the revelation that he was the Christ. You see, the first question I wanted to put forward to you is, do you recognize Jesus? Do we recognize Jesus? Sometimes we can hear what other people's experience about who Jesus is, and we run with that experience. But do we recognize Jesus for ourselves when Jesus says, do you know who I am? See, that's a question that we all need to, first of all, think about in our life. Do we really know who Jesus is? Because that question then leads on to, if we recognize who Jesus is, then we recognize that there's a cost that Jesus paid for us. There's a cost to discipleship. So what is that cost? What's this price that Jesus had to pay for us? What is this price? Who pays the price? Is it just Jesus that paid that price? Or do we have a part in that price as well? So putting Jesus first in all things. Let's look at Mark 8, verse 31. And I'm going to read from 31 to 38. And I'll be pausing. I might be pausing partway through the scripture just to explain things to you. But from verse 31, it says, "Then Jesus began to tell them that the Son of Man must suffer many terrible things and be rejected by the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of religious law. He would be killed, but 3 days later, he would rise from the dead. And he talked about this openly with his disciples. Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him for saying such things." So, I'm going to stop there. As Peter heard what Jesus was saying, he started to think to himself, wait a minute. Because he reprimanded him. So maybe he was thinking to himself, because if we look at the scriptures before, at the passages before, we see that Jesus was a man that walked around, he did healing. He was healing people. We see that he walked on the water. We see that he was a man that basically commanded respect. He was a man that fed the 5,000. He fed the 4,000. He was a man of great power. But yet, he's walking with his disciples and he's saying to them, "I'm going to suffer." He's telling them, "I'm going to die." He's saying, "I'm going to be killed. But 3 days later, I'm going to rise." So Peter was thinking, wait a minute. What are you saying? What, for him to reprimand him, for him to want to reprimand him, he was thinking to himself, what are you saying? Do you not know who you are? Do you not know who you are? That's what I feel that Peter was thinking. Do you not know what you've done? Do you not know what you're saying? So he pulls him aside and says, "You know, I'm not gonna embarrass him in front of all the disciples. I'm gonna take him to one side." So he takes him to one side and he reprimands him. He probably says something like this: "Jesus, come on now, fix up. You know what you've done. You know what you've done in the past. All those amazing things that you've done, and you're telling us that you're going to die." But what does Jesus say to him? Jesus turns around. This is from verse 33. Jesus turns around and looks at his disciples. He turns around and looks at them. And then he reprimands Peter. He says, "Get away from me, Satan," said. "You are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's." Now at this point, if I was Peter, I would have been shocked when he said, "Get away from me, Satan." I would have been like, "What, me? Wait, I was just trying to tell you your wrongs, but you've called me Satan." See, what it was is that Jesus recognized that he was walking in his flesh. He was acting in his flesh. He recognized that he didn't really know what he was saying. That if he'd really thought about it, he was acting just from the hurt of the moment, just from what Jesus had said to the disciples. He wasn't actually acting. See, we know that Peter was a Christian. We know that he was walking with Jesus. So this tells us something. This tells us that Christians can walk in the flesh. And when they're walking in the flesh, they can give advice, what they think is the right advice. So the first thing I want to share to you today is not everything that people say to you is the right thing. You need to check back to Jesus. You need to check back to Jesus because, yeah, that person might be living right. That person might have all the fruits of a Christian. That person might be holding on and serving God, but yet at that one second, they walk in the flesh when they decide to give you that wisdom. We need to check where that wisdom is coming from, and we need to make sure that we check in to Christ. Amen? Because that way we won't go wrong. See, Jesus recognized that Satan was using Peter. He recognized that at that point, at that moment in time, Peter was walking in the flesh. So we need to be careful. Amen? See, Peter was sowing into his flesh monster. He was sowing into the flesh monster. How many times do we sometimes sow into the flesh monster. We're tired because we've been working at a wedding all the night before. We've been serving. But we wake up in the morning and we feel to ourselves, Lord, I don't even want to go in. I'm not even going to go in at all. No, no. So then someone asks you for wisdom. You know what? I think we should just stay because we have worked really hard and God honors that. God honors that. Let's just stay at home. He's seen what we did last night. But God is saying, come on, my faithful steward. Come on, my faithful steward. I'm the one who gives you the strength. If you tap into me, you might miss something if you stay at home. You might miss your blessing. So come on out. Amen? Amen. Sometimes we need to realize that we need to make sure that we're checking into God all the time. Checking into God. So I'm going to read on. Verse 34. Then, calling the crowds to join his disciples, he said, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow me. Now, if you're taking notes, write down, take up your cross. If you're not, make a mental note, take up your cross. He says, if you try and hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is there anything worth more than your soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my message in these adulterous and sinful days, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he returns of his Father with the holy angels. Sorry, when he returns in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. So, he's telling us here. Now, he says, if you try and hang on to your life, you will lose it. What's that supposed to mean? If you try and hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, for the good news, you will save it. You see, I was reading about, there's a Baptist pastor, and it's called T. Austin Sparks. He was an old Baptist pastor, and he says, he actually writes down, it's a book that he's written, and he writes a quote, and then he says, we have not to die, we are dead. What does that mean? We have not to die, we are dead. What we have to do is accept our death. In baptism, we step in the water and we say, the position which God has settled with reference to me is the one which I now accept. And I testify in here this way to the fact that I have accepted God's position for me, namely, that in the cross I have been brought to an end. See, why we get baptized, why we step into the water and we get put under, we have to recognize that we are showing to the world, we are showing to ourselves, and we are coming out and saying, Lord, this position that I am in, Lord Jesus, I step into that water, I get buried with you, and I'm raised to a new life. I am raised to a new life. And it's showing the world that we are different, that we are no longer bound by the old ways of the old life. We are no longer bound. It's showing people that we want to say, I am new, I am restored. I'm living a new life, and today my new life starts. So if you've not been baptized, I implore you to get baptized. If you have not been baptized, and you're holding off, and you're thinking to yourself, well, what do I need to do that for? It's just an outwards, it's just a symbol. Why did Jesus get baptized? Why did Jesus get baptized? We see a great example in Jesus getting baptized. We need to follow that example because it's showing the world that we are, and showing ourselves that we are putting off the old man and we are taking on the new man. Amen? We are taking on the new man. And it's an example because this is why he said, if you try and hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and the good news, you will save it. He's trying to tell us that it's not about when it talks about death, when it's talking about death, and we're going to read many other scriptures on this today, because I want this point to get across to you. He's not talking about actually giving up the ghost. He's not talking about just, you know, your heart stopping beating and you're breathing your last breath. He's talking about giving up your old way of life. Giving up your old way of life. Realizing that you need to take on a new life in order to survive. In order for God to start to speak in your life, you need to take on the new life. And we're going to look into that, and we're going to dig deeper into that. Colossians 2, and I'm going to read from verse 12, I'm going to read verse 14, and I'm going to read verse 20. And verse 12 says, "For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to a new life because you trusted in the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead." So this is telling us that when we get baptized, we die with him and we're raised to a new life. Amen? Verse 14 says, "He cancelled the record of charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross." I want you to underline record of charges. Record of charges. He cancelled the record of charges. It wasn't just one thing. Each one of us has a record of charges to our life. Each one of us has a record of charges that Jesus has died for, whether you believe or not. You have a record of charges that Jesus has died for. Some of us, we know that and we understand that fact. But even when we accept Jesus and we become Christians, there's still charges, a record of charges that Jesus has died and cancelled, because many of us fall. But the Bible tells us to get up. Even when we're Christians, we still sin. But the Bible tells us to get up. Amen? It says that we can come to him and we can ask for forgiveness. Why? Because those things have already been cancelled. See, the world is walking out there at the moment. Those people that are unsaved are walking out there. And they don't realize that Jesus has already died for their sins. He's already died for their sins. They've already been set free. But all they have to do is realize that fact. All they have to do is recognize that God sent his son Jesus to die so that those record of charges would be cancelled. Can somebody say amen? Our record of charges have been cancelled. Everything that we've ever done, everything that we ever will do, it's been cancelled. It's been wiped out. Amen. Hallelujah. That's the God that we serve. That is the God that we serve. A God that would cancel the record of charges by nailing it to the cross. Wow. Hallelujah. This is for the whole world. We are no longer bound. You see, in Romans 7, you don't need to turn there, but it tells us, because what is this? What is this record of charges? Why is it? Why is it there? In Romans 7, it tells us that we were bound from the beginning. We were bound from the beginning. We were subject to sin. We were married to sin. Basically, when Adam sinned, that indirectly, because of the sin that he did, it tainted us. So we were born with sin. But Romans 7 explains, it sets out to explain what happened with this sin. You see, before Moses came along and wrote the law, we were under the sin, but we didn't know. We never knew why we were acting this way. It says, we never knew why we were acting this way. But then God presented the law to us. What was this law? The Ten Commandments. He presented the Ten Commandments to us. And then man then tried to live up to those Ten Commandments. But what happened is that what the law did, Romans 7 tells us that it showed us that now we have something that we have to, it actually showed us the sin. It was like a mirror. And we could see ourselves. Before we were under sin, but we never knew. But then when the law came and said, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. It showed us, so it was even harder then to live according to that law. It was even harder to try and to fulfill every single one of those commandments. It gives you the example in Romans 7. It says, now we know that Richard and Denise just had their wedding yesterday and they've come together. It gives an example of a woman. It says, a woman and a husband, a woman marries her husband. They're married. Now that's a covenant that is made in marriage, because obviously when you get married, that's it, you know. And it says, if this woman then goes and takes another man, it's adultery. It tries to explain it to you. It's adultery. It says, because, why is it adultery? Because she's still married to her first husband. That's why it's adultery. Now what it says is that the only way for her to get out of that commandment or that covenant is if her husband dies. See, when her husband dies, she's no longer married to him. That old covenant is broken. So that means she's free to marry somebody else. She's free to marry another man. Now, the reason why it paints this picture, because it says that when Christ died for us, when he died for us, that marriage to sin was severed. Amen? That marriage to sin was severed. So that it means that we are no longer married to sin. It means that we now take on the Holy Spirit and we are married to Christ. Can somebody say amen? We are married to Christ. But what it is that, see, where we get tricked, where the enemy tries to trick us, he tries to trick us that we are still under sin's control. We are still under sin's control. Now, yes, we can still sin. But we are no longer under his control. And I'm going to show you in the scriptures why we are no longer under sin's control. Because we are married to another. Amen. We are married to our Redeemer. We are married to Jesus. He is the one who set us free. Amen. So we should stand on this. We should stand on this. We should know that basically we are no longer under sin's control. It no longer controls us. So if you sin, it's because you want to when you're a Christian. When you've accepted Christ into your life, if you sin, it's because you want to. It's not because you are under this law anymore. It's not because you're under this law anymore, because you're set free. And we need to realize that we are set free. See, the enemy tries to paint a picture in our mind and tries to tell us that we can't do it. We're never going to be able to overcome. We're never going to be able to overcome this problem that keeps rising up in our life. This sin that keeps coming and knocking on our door, we're never going to be able to overcome it. But I'm going to tell you that we're an overcomer today, amen. We are an overcomer, amen. If you've accepted Jesus Christ into your life, there is nothing that can hold you back. We are overcomers. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And you need to write that fact down that we are overcomers. Hallelujah. You see, hallelujah. Verse 20 says, you have died with Christ, and he has set you free from the spiritual powers of this world. So why do you keep on following the rules of this world? And it says, such as, and it goes on. Colossians 3, verse 3 to 7. I told you I'm going to give you a lot of word today. Hallelujah. But the word is light. Hallelujah. And it's doing a work in our lives. So Colossians 3, verse 7 says, For as far as this world is concerned, you are already dead, and your true life is a hidden one in God through Christ. One day, Christ, who is your life, will show himself openly, and you will all share in that magnificent revelation. Amen? We're going to share in a magnificent revelation of Jesus one day. Hallelujah. It says, consider yourself dead to worldly contacts. You have nothing to do with sexual immorality, dirty mindedness, uncontrolled passion, evil desire, and the lust for other people's goods, which amounts to idolatry. It is because of these very things that the holy anger of God falls upon those who refuse to obey him. And never forget that you had your part in those dreadful things when you lived that old life. It's telling us that we are no longer under that. We are no longer under that. It makes out when you were part of these things when you were in your old life. So that means when we're in a new life, We are no longer under those things. We no longer have to bow to sexual desires, to lust, to uncontrolled passion, to evil desire. We don't have to bow to any of those things. If those things are in your life, it's because you don't know, you don't realize that you've actually been set free. If those things are in your life, you don't realize that you've actually been set free. You're no longer bound by those things. Hallelujah. You're no longer bound by those things. You see, Romans 6 verse 11 says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead. Again, we see this dead thing. Likewise, reckon yourselves to be dead. Sometimes we've got to speak to our flesh. Sometimes we've got to speak to our flesh and say, die. That feeling that I'm feeling, die. Because Jesus has already told me that I'm free. That thing that keeps coming back to me, you die. You die. We're going to look at the authority that we have. We're going to look at the authority that we have. See, when you say die, you have to call on the name of Jesus. You die in the name of Jesus. But we're coming there shortly. But we need to recognize that those things that have tried to attach themselves to our lives, we have been set free from the moment you accept Jesus Christ in your life. Whether you're a believer or a believer that has been serving for 15, 20 years, you can be free in the name of Jesus because you are free. And you have the same power. You have the same power. You just have to realize that everything that God has given, hallelujah, is ours. It's ours to sustain us. He's given it to us. Hallelujah. So, why do all these scriptures keep talking about being dead with Christ? You know, it says, once you die to the flesh, you become spiritually alive. See, once you've died to your flesh, and you say, flesh, you're no longer going to tell me how to live my life. I've got the Holy Spirit that's living in me, telling me how to live my life. So when you tell me that I'm sat in church and I should start yawning, I'm going to speak to you. And I'm going to say, just be awake in the name of Jesus. Be awake, because this message, I've got to hear it today. I've got to hear this message. I ain't sleeping through any part of this message. Hallelujah. Because this message is going to set me free. Hallelujah. So we need to speak to the flesh sometimes. When the flesh tries to say, be angry with that sister, be angry with that brother because of what they've just done, you need to tell him, I am losing my blessing. I'm not losing my blessing, flesh. You better calm down. You better wind your own neck in, flesh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because I'm not losing my blessing today. I am not losing my blessing. I'm going to love that sister. I'm going to love that brother all the more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, what happens then? The flesh starts to fix up. And it's like, you know what? Yeah, you know what? The spirit man's right. See, our spirit man should be the dominant one. It should be the dominant one. We know it got messed up. I'm coming there later. It got messed up. And because of that, that's why we have all these problems. See, the flesh wants to rise up. See, the world, they're living and their spirit man is dead. See, the other thing is, if your flesh is not dead and the spirit man's alive, then you're living the opposite. So when you're alive to the flesh, you're actually spiritually dead. That's why you see these people and you try and tell them about Jesus and they just don't want to know. They just can't comprehend. And the reason why they can't comprehend is because they're spiritually dead. They're spiritually dead. See, we can only commune with God through the Spirit. We can only commune with Him through the Spirit. It's not something that you can, it's hard to explain. It's to try and explain the feeling of God on your life when God speaks with you and you're praying to Him and He comes down and the presence falls. You can't explain that feeling. You can't explain that feeling. You just have to feel it. And then you know, oh yeah, I know when, you know, yeah, when you get those tingles, those goosebumps on your back, when you get that warm feeling, when you know that it's going to be all right, even though you're going through the dark areas, even when things are on your back, you know that it's going to be all right. You can't explain that. Hallelujah. But it's having a taste of God. It's when your spirit man's alive, then God can speak to your spirit and he can say, come on, you're going to get through this. You're going to get through this. Amen? Hallelujah. Ephesians 2, verse 1 to 10 says, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, you used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. Hallelujah. But God in his mercy, God in his grace, he woke us up. God in his grace, he took away those scales off our eyes and allowed us to see him, allowed us to see the truth, allowed us to see, hallelujah, hallelujah, the real us, the real you. See, the real you is eternal. The real you is eternal. The real you will go on whether you're a Christian or not. Whether you're a Christian or not, and if you take your last breath, your spirit is going to continue living. See, there's a consequence. There's a consequence. There's either a blessing and a reward, or there's damnation. But that's another sermon. Because we need to realize that, you see, we need to realize this, that there is a consequence to our lives. Talked about carrying the cross. Carrying the cross. Why we carry our cross. Why we have to hold on to that cross just like Jesus did. See, there is a consequence. But God wants to bless us. He loves us. He loves the whole world. He loves the whole world. Hallelujah. And he died for everyone. He said that the records were cancelled. Hallelujah. Our records were cancelled. Verse 4, but God, who is so rich in mercy and loves us so much, that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised us, when he raised Christ from the dead. He gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody should be saying amen at that point. It's only by God's grace that we have been saved. See, verse 6 says, for he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ. We are actually seated with him in the heavenly realms. Right now, we are on this earth, but we are actually seated with Jesus Christ. We are actually seated at the right hand, hallelujah, of the Father. Isn't that great? Isn't that great to know that our names are written in the book of life? Isn't that great to know that we have an opportunity to live life eternal with Jesus? That's great, hallelujah. People should be jumping around right now. You know, the revelation is, hallelujah, the revelation is that we are no longer bound. We are no longer bound. We no longer have to serve sin to our death. Hallelujah. We are new creatures. A new creation. Hallelujah. We are a new creation. And we are no longer bound. We are seated with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We are united with him. Verse 7. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all that he has done for us who are united with Christ. See, he can point to you as an example. Hallelujah. Once addicted to drugs, once broken, once lost, once in the darkness, he can point to you, hallelujah, show his blessings to the world. He can point to you and say, look, hallelujah, look what I can do to the down and out. I can lift them up. I can change their lives around. I can plant their feet. There is nothing that you cannot do. There is nothing that you cannot do, hallelujah, with the blessings of Christ. There is nothing that we cannot do. It doesn't matter where we're coming from. It doesn't matter our education. It doesn't matter our background. It doesn't matter, because Jesus can open the doors where anything is closed. Anything that has been closed to us can be opened through Jesus. Hallelujah. But we just have to realize who Jesus is. We have to realize who he is and what he's done for us. Hallelujah. The blessings that we have. See, we are blessed. We are blessed and highly favored. Hallelujah. Sometimes you have to tell yourself that when you're feeling a bit low, when the enemy is trying to knock on your door, just tell him, I'm blessed. I'm highly favored, Satan. Hallelujah. Do you know who you're talking to? You're talking to a child of the King who rescued me, who restored my life. Sometimes you have to remind yourself, I'm restored. I'm standing anew. I'm living anew. Hallelujah. We have to remind ourselves, because if we don't remind ourselves, Satan's going to try and trick us. He's going to come creeping behind us and try and tell you, yeah, you know, you'll never change. That sin that's always covering your life, that you keep on falling in, you'll never change. Look at your background. Look where you're coming from. A no hope family. No hope family. You're going to go back to it. You're saying that you're coming to church, but you're never going to be able to break through. You're never going to be able to break through. And you start to listen. And you start to think to yourself, yeah, I am a no-hoper. Yeah, I am lost. Yeah, I don't think I'm going to make it. But see, this is where the enemy wants to get us into that state of mind of thinking that he's not already broken the law. He's not already taken those charges against us and died for them. See, when we start to think like that, yeah, then we're going to act powerless. We're going to act like we've got no power. But I want to tell you, we have power. We have power. And we need to remind ourselves that at every occasion when the enemy tries to come to us, we have power. We have power and authority that he has given us. Amen? Hallelujah. Verse 8. We're still in Ephesians 2. Verse 8, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things that we have done. So none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things that he planned for us long ago. See, he's planned. He's planned good things in our life. That's why you can never tell yourself that you can never make it. God has planned good things for each and every one of us. See, we just need to find out what those good things are. We need to ask him. We need to say, Lord Jesus, what are those good things that you planned for me? And God says, you know what? You were from a background of drug addiction. I'm going to make you a lawyer. You were from a background of saying that nobody said that you would ever make it. I'm going to take you through school. See, this is my life I'm talking about right now. I'm going to take you through school. See, I was from a background that I came home with loads of bad reports, loads of, you know, I was the one that was told, oh, you're never going to make it. You're never going to do anything with your life. How come your sisters are always getting good reports, but you, Damien, you, you make me, this is my dad now, you make me, you make me, why? Why can't you be like your sisters? This is what I used to get. You see, if I had listened to that, if I had listened to what my father was saying, I would never make it. I probably wouldn't be here today. But you see, God had a hand on my life at an early age. And he said, yes, even though you've not come out of school with any maths qualifications, even though you've come out with one C, for design, for it was this was and this and I would have got an A, but because I was just, I just didn't care properly, you know, and it was not even that I didn't care, or just, you know, I was just one of those kids that just didn't listen. And I left my folder on the bus with all of my work in there. So that A went to a C because I'd made this nice video cabinet, and that's what they marked me on. Praise the Lord. So I came out with nothing. See, I came out with nothing. Now, I'm saying this to you to say that even though I came out with nothing, God had a hand on my life. Now, God started to speak to me and says, you know, okay, you've come out with school with nothing. Let's start to go to university now. Now, God got a hold of my life. I got rid of all my music. Used to listen to ragga and hip-hop and, you know, like just proper gangster hip-hop and things like that. Even though I wasn't really living the gangster life, I just like listening to the music. I had to get rid of it. The Holy Spirit told me. I didn't, you know, it wasn't any truth about hip-hop or any kind of, you know, you need to get rid of music because it's, you know, demonically inspired or anything like that. It was the Holy Spirit that said to me, Damien, break up all your tapes. So I pulled out, because it was tapes then. So I had tapes. So I mashed up all my tapes, pulled out all the reel and snapped them all, you know, and then God started to deal with my life and he started to take me on. And it's like he would place people in my path. So I went to college first. Now, I'm a person that I was in the lowest set for maths. But somehow I found myself on an electronics course. Somehow I found myself doing electronics. A person that doesn't like maths doing electronics, I don't know how I got there. But then I ended up going into university as well. And every single time I wanted to back out, he would put people in place to keep me on the right track. Amen. Every time I was like, you know, this is too hard for me, people would come. I'd be having Muslims coming up to me saying, come on, come on. I'm going to bring you in the library. I'm going to sit with you. I'm like, wow, God uses anybody. Do you know that? God uses anybody to give you your blessing. He will use anybody to give you your blessing. Amen? You see, so I got there, and I ended up getting a job, you know, and God has blessed me, you know, and yeah, I won't go any further into that. But it's just to show you that, you know, God is in the business of blessing. God is in the business of taking what others have refused and making them the top, making them the head. Hallelujah. He said that, he even said himself that he was a cornerstone that the builders would refuse. But he would become the chief cornerstone. He was you know what I mean? And this is the thing, is that he's taking our life and he's blessing us. He's blessing us. Hallelujah. Let's hold to his blessings. Romans 6, verse 8 to 10, and I'm going to try and move on as quick as possible because time's flowing. Romans 6, verse 8 to 10 says, and since we died with Christ, we know that we will also live with him. We are sure of this because Christ, who was raised from the dead, and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. When he died once to break the power of sin. But now that he lives for the glory of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So the conclusion of this part, see, in order for us to realize that, one, Satan is a liar. Yeah. Let's say it as it is. He is a liar, and he will try to deceive you. He will try to deceive you. He will try and come in our lives in every single way and fashion that he can come into our lives. Hallelujah. But you see, we have one thing at our disposal that we can fight the enemy with. Now, let's just go back when at the beginning I started to read and I started to tell you about what happened when Peter took Jesus at the side and began to reprimand him. Straight away, Jesus looked at him and he knew who was behind him and he said, get away from me, Satan. Get away from me, Satan. You see, he didn't have to say, get away from me, Satan, in the name of Jesus, because he was Jesus. But he gives us an example. You see, when Satan comes up to us, because now we have died, and we are raised with him, and we sit at the right hand of the Father with him. We have the same power, amen? So what we say is, get away from me, Jesus. Sorry, get away from me, Satan, in the name of Jesus. Yeah? Get away from me, Satan, in the name of Jesus. We use his name. We proclaim his name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to see the authority right now that God has given us. We're going to look at that for the last part. We're going to look at the authority that God has given us. Hallelujah. See, I was going to give you a quick example. There's a man, and he has a £20, and he puts that £20 into his jacket pocket. So that, you know, and he puts it there, and there's 3 weeks pass, and he goes out running, puts on his jacket, goes out running. And as he's running, the sun starts to come out, and the wind starts to blow, he starts to get tired. So he comes across a shop. And he goes into the shop and he says, you know what, I need a drink. And he stares and sees this big fridge and there's Lucozade lined up on the top shelf of the fridge. And then he walks up to the bottle of Lucozade and it says 75 pence. Probably more, but this was a cheap shop. It says 75 pence. So he starts to search his pockets. And as he's searching his pockets, his trouser pockets, he finds 3 pence. Thinks, oh no, I need a drink. I'm tired. I've only got 3 pence. What can I do? What can I do with this free? I can't buy a drink with 3 pence. I'm tired. He says, I'm broke. I'm so broke. I wish I had money. Is he really broke? He's not really broke, is he? He's actually got the £20 in his pocket, but he's forgotten about it. He doesn't realize that £20 is there. You see, many of us Christians, we don't realize that God has given us, he has given us a bank full of authority. We have a whole bank full of authority. But we just need to tap into that authority. You see, our currency is faith. Our currency is faith. Sometimes we misplace our faith. We need to get on right on the page and realize and recognize and remember where our faith lies. Our faith lies in Jesus. Our faith lies in Jesus. We need to realize that it's that faith, that's the currency that buys, hallelujah, our energy, that buys, hallelujah, our authority so that we can drink that authority and we can say, you know what, I'm going to replenish myself because I'm standing with the authority, amen? I am standing with the authority. Hallelujah. See, the enemy tries to trick us. He tries to make us forget our faith, the authority that Jesus has given us. You see, and we need this. Why do we need the authority of Jesus? Why do we need to call on upon his name? Because Ephesians 6 verse 12 says, "For we are fighting not against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world. Against mighty powers in this dark world. Against evil spirits in the heavenly places." See, our battle with the devil should be with the consciousness that we have authority over him in Jesus. Because Jesus defeated him at the cross. So that means we have defeated him. See, we need to remember that we're not fighting a battle of flesh and blood. It's not what you can do with your hands. It's not about fighting. It's about knowing who's behind you, knowing that we're fighting a spiritual battle and how we fight that spiritual battle. Because it's not of our strength. It's not of our own strength. Just like this man was running and he was getting tired and thirsty because the sun was blaring down on him. See, the enemy is like the sun and is like the wind, is like the elements. He's blaring down on you, trying to wear you down. Trying to wear you down. But then you have the authority, the currency of the faith that you can tap into to get to that authority that you can tell him to flee in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Satan tries to blind us from this. Don't be blind, church. Don't be blind. Don't be blind. Realize that you are a child of God, that we are destined for greater things. We are destined for greater things to come. Hallelujah. We are destined for the best. God wants to give us the best. We need to realize that. Hallelujah. Amen. John 8, 31 to 32. Says, Jesus said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Hallelujah. See, this is what it is. It's about knowing the truth. We need to know the truth because the truth will set us free. See, when we know the truth that we are victorious, nothing that can come to us will be able to affect us. No lie that the enemy brings will be able to affect us. Hosea 4 verse 5 says, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. See, when you don't know, hallelujah, that God has your back, you're going to keep on running. Every single thing that comes to you, you're going to be scared. You're going to live defeated when we are actually victorious. You're going to live like you cannot make it when actually you can. Hallelujah. Because it's Jesus that carries us. It is Jesus that carries us. It is his spirit working inside our lives that carries us. Amen. Hallelujah. Even that noise agrees. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, we have to praise him. We have to praise him. We have to give him all the glory. We have to give him all the praise. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Another example that I'm going to give you. A man is in a road. He's got his jeans on. He's got his red t-shirt on. And his backpack. You're driving down the road. And you see a man standing there, jeans on, t-shirt, and a backpack. Now, if the man did that to you, what would you think? You'd probably think, he's that crazy idiot in the road. That's what you'd probably think. I mean, if I was driving, I'd be like, what's he doing? Idiot. And try and drive around him. You know what I mean? If I could drive around him, or, you know, I'll slow down, I'd probably beep my horn. Can you get out of the way, please? I've got somewhere to go. We'd look at him and we'd think, what is he doing in the road? Yeah? Now, this is another scenario. A policeman is standing in the road and you're driving your car. He puts his hand up to you. What would most of us do? We would stop. Why do we stop? Why do we stop? Because we know that he's the man of the law. We recognize the authority. We recognize the authority that he has. The other guy, he didn't have any authority. Who is he? We don't even know who he is. Who is that Joe Bloggs? You know what I mean? Who is he? But when you see the policeman, we recognize his authority straight away. You see, that's what Satan's like with us. That is what Satan's like with us. When we have Jesus in our lives, we don't have to fear him. We don't have to fear him. When Satan's coming at us in a car to run us down, to take our life, to knock us over, we just have to go, stop in the name of Jesus. Yeah? Not stop in the name of the law. Stop in the name of Jesus. And the enemy will flee. Why? Because he recognizes the authority that we have. He sees that outfit that we have on. He sees that heavenly garment. He sees it, hallelujah. And he stops. And he stops. You see, we need to recognize who we are. When we recognize who we are and who we're backed up with, who is over us, who is our dad? My father, hallelujah, owns many mansions, hallelujah. My father has a cattle on 1,000 hills, hallelujah. My father can open doors where there are no doors. My father can make ways where there are no ways. It doesn't matter about my life. It doesn't matter about where I've come from, because I know that my father will take me through. I know that my father will allow me to make it. My father will allow me to excel in the name of Jesus. All I have to do is trust in him. All I have to do is trust in the one, hallelujah, that has brought me this far, hallelujah, and will keep me and never forsake me. That's who we need to trust in, hallelujah. That is the authority that we have. See, when you recognize that authority, you're going to stand and you're going to be bold. You're going to be bold, hallelujah. See, we need to be bold. We need to know the authority that we have, hallelujah. He's given it to us. He's given it to us because he knows that we need it. See, that's why Ephesians told us we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. It told us that. It told us that it's evil rulers and authorities. There's an unseen world. It's real. There is an unseen world and it's real. It is real. If many of us, if God was to give us a glimpse, I know there's a scripture in the Bible where one of the, I think it was one of the prophets, and he's given a vision, and or he prays for the person that's next to him, and to, for God to open his eyes. And God opens his eyes and he sees a mighty army, chariots, waiting. See, if God was to open our eyes to the spiritual realm and we were to see the battle that is taking place, the battle that is taking place right now to rob you of the word, the battle that is taking place right now to rob you of your blessing, there's a battle going on. But when you realize that there's a battle going on, you say, Father, Father, help me to fight that battle in the name of Jesus. Help me to stand in the name of Jesus. Help me to believe. Help me to believe. Help me to stand still and know that you are God. Hallelujah. When he says, be still, you will be still. Hallelujah. No matter the situation, no matter what's coming you your way, you stay still. Hallelujah. It might be a wind. It might be a storm, just like Peter walking on the water. But he had faith in Jesus. Hallelujah. He had faith in Jesus. That's why he put his foot out, because he knew that, because Jesus had called him, hallelujah, he would take hold of him. And we see with that story, even though at the second when he started to look at the surroundings and take his eyes off Jesus, and he started to sink, and he cried out to Jesus, and Jesus saved him. Some of us need to cry out to Jesus, hallelujah. Some of us need to cry out to Jesus in our circumstance. If you feel that you're sinking or you're slipping, call out to Jesus. Say, Jesus, rescue me, hallelujah. He will. He's just waiting for you to call on him. He's waiting on you to call on him. But no, what do we do? What do we do? Many of us, we say, we pray. This is the prayer that we pray. And think. And this is why nothing's happening. Because we pray this prayer. We say, Jesus. Jesus, can you help me? Satan's coming after me. Can you help me, Lord? He's hurting me, Father. Oh, Father, he's trying to take me out. He's trying to take me out, Father. Can you help me? And Jesus is standing there saying, my child, I can help you, but I can't help you like that. But Jesus, just help me, help me. I can help you. I can help you. But I've given you the authority. I've already given you the authority. You see, Jesus is the head. The church is the body. Yeah? Jesus is the head, seated at the right hand of the Father. We are seated with him, but we are the body. You see, what Jesus wants us to do, you see, the body can't move without the head. The body can't operate without the head. And the head can't operate without the body. Jesus needs us. That's why he tells us to go out into the world and spread the good news. He wants our lives to be a testimony to people. See, but when you're praying this prayer, Jesus, Satan's, he's after me. He's trying to kill me. He's trying to take me out. You see, we need to be praying in the name of Jesus. Satan, you get behind me in the name of Jesus. See, this is the prayer that Jesus wants us to pray. He has given us the authority. We use it. Just like he said, Satan, get away. You get away. He's given you the authority. So that's why many of us can't break those things in our life. Because we're praying, I'm a victim, I'm a victim, I'm a victim, Lord, I'm a victim, I'm a victim. When Jesus is saying, you command Satan to come out of your life. You command those things to change. You command those things in the name of Jesus, and they will change, hallelujah. They will change. When you stand up and you realize the authority that Jesus has given you, and you take his name and you speak into your life and you say, I'm going to make it in the name of Jesus. I'm going to be victorious in the name of Jesus. I'm going to stand in the name of Jesus. There is nothing that you can do, Satan. There is nothing that you can do, because Jesus is living in me. Hallelujah. When we start to believe, When we start to stand and believe in Jesus, in the name of Jesus, put it to practice. Hallelujah. Put it to practice. You see, it doesn't matter how long you've been saved. You could get saved today. And you can start to step on the enemy's territory. Because hallelujah, God has given you the authority. When you say, Jesus, come into my life, God gives you the authority straight away. You can start to break those things. See, many of us, we're trying to fight this losing battle, because we don't realize our authority. We don't realize our authority, so we're trying to fight and we're getting pushed back, and we're fighting and we're getting pushed back because we're not praying the right prayers. We're not praying the right prayers. So what prayer are you praying? We need to check out what prayers we're really praying. Because if we're pressing forwards, we have to understand the enemy, the authority that we have and the enemy that is before us. And we need to take hold of that authority, and we need to pray and command some things to die. If you're bound in some areas of your life, you need to command some things to die, but in the name of Jesus. You need to command those things, but in the name of Jesus. You need to use the name of Jesus when you're commanding those things to die. Amen? Hallelujah. And time is drawing down, so I'm just going to... Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, Luke 10 verse 19 says, "Look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Nothing will injure you. Hallelujah. You see, snakes and scorpions. Now, people read that and think that it's just talking about literal snakes and literal scorpions. But it's actually talking about the demonic realm. It's actually talking that there's a demonic realm. There's a realm that we cannot see. There's a realm where there's demons and they're out to get us. It's telling us that you can walk among them. Now, if you think about it, because verse 20, I'll just go, carry on, because verse 20 says, "But don't rejoice because evil spirits obey you. Rejoice because your names are registered in heaven." Hallelujah. So it's telling us that they're underneath us, but don't rejoice. Don't boast about that fact that they're subject to us. Rejoice that our names are written in heaven. See, that's just part of the authority that God gives us, that they're subject to us. Because they're subject to God, they're subject to us. Hallelujah. But I was looking at that and I was thinking, a snake is below our feet. See, if we're sitting at the right hand of the Father, a snake is a small, it's on the ground. And us in relation to a snake, our height level, a snake's down there, a scorpion's down there. Now, if you've got big boots big enough, hallelujah, you can stamp on the enemy. And you hear some songs where they sing, "Stamp on the enemy, stamp on the enemy." See, we can stamp on the enemy if we've got boots big enough. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We need to recognize that it's under our feet because we are sitting at the right hand of the Father. So there is nothing that the enemy that Satan can do to us. There is nothing that he can do to us that, hallelujah, that we can't stand up. We can't stand up and be successful and walk in God's power and God's authority. We can step on him. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 5 verse 8 to 9 says, "Stay alert. Watch out for the great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your Christian brothers and sisters all over the world are going through the same kind of suffering you are." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It tells us he's going around like a roaring lion. Like a roaring lion. Hallelujah. Seeking who he may devour. But we need to recognize that he's like a roaring lion. That his roar means nothing to us. His roar means nothing to us. And if we stand in the name of Jesus and we say flee, he will flee. Why? Because he's not scared of us. He's scared of Jesus living in us. He's scared of the authority that we have. Amen? Hallelujah. Matthew 28 verse 18 says, "Jesus came and told his disciples, I have given all authority in heaven. I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth." See, when Jesus rose, he transferred that authority to us. He transferred it to us. Hallelujah. That's why we can rebuke the devil and he will flee. Because we have that authority that has been transferred to us. It says in Mark 16, 15 to 18, it tells us that we can cast out devils, that we can speak in new tongues, that we can lay hands. This is the authority that God has given to us. We can lay hands on the sick and they will be well. Why? Because again, when we're praying, we need to realize that it's not us that wants to heal that person, it's Jesus. And we're just standing as a vessel. We are a vessel and we're being obedient vessel. And when we lay hands at the Holy Spirit's unction, hallelujah, the power of God is transferred through us to that person and they can receive healing. Amen? Hallelujah. And when we pray into those areas of our life, hallelujah, they will change. Why? Because Jesus, hallelujah, wants to bless us. He says, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, we need to ask God. We need to ask him. We need to seek him and say, Lord, Father, reveal your truth to me. Reveal your word to me. Help me to stand. Help me to stand. Help me to believe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So how do we resist Satan's lies? Hallelujah. I'm coming to a close now. So if the worship team can just, hallelujah, make their way back up. How do we resist Satan's lies? How do we resist Satan's lies? The Bible tells us in Ephesians 6, verse 13. He says, therefore, put on every piece of armor, God's armor, so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will be standing firm. Hallelujah. He says, stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. Hallelujah. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from good news, so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on the salvation of your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. See, Ephesians 6, verse 13 tells us how we can live victorious. It tells us how we can... Hallelujah. And the first thing I'm going to do, I want to open up the altars. But the first thing I want to do, if there is anybody, hallelujah, that doesn't know the Lord Jesus, that wants to accept Jesus into their life today, I want to see by the raising of your hands, because today, hallelujah, today you can meet with the Lord. Today you can have that power. You can your sins, they've already been washed away. Your sins have already been washed away. You just need to accept that Jesus has died for you. You just need to accept, hallelujah, that he's in your life right now. If there's anybody that needs to receive Jesus, now is the time. I just want to see by the raising of your hands if there is anybody in here right now that doesn't have access to that power. Hallelujah, because today's your day that you can have access to that power. Hallelujah. Okay, I can't see any raising of the hands. That means everybody that is in here has access to that power. Hallelujah. So that means we're going to break some things right now. Hallelujah. Some things are going to be broken right now. And I expect everybody to be at this altar, because all of us have things that need to be broken. And I'm here to tell you today that the Lord wants to break those things, but he wants you to pray properly. He wants you to pray right. He wants you to pray with his authority that he has already given you. He wants you to command those things to be broken. Command those areas in our life to be free. Hallelujah. And they will be free. Hallelujah. What things do you need to come to pass? Speak it into being in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. What good things do you need to happen in your life? Speak it into being in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The altars are open. Just come down and start to meet with the Lord and start to pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody to pray for themselves. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Amen. Hallelujah. Just begin to speak into those areas right now, because you have authority. You have authority. Hallelujah. God wants you to know that you have authority, that it doesn't matter what you've been falling with. It could be the same sin that has been over and over again. Hallelujah. But today, that sin is going to be broken, because you are going to speak to that demon right now, and you're going to say, flee in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And that thing's going to be broken. Hallelujah. 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 You might be praying for something. You might be praying for a new job. You might be praying for something to come into your life, some good to come into your life. Well, you can also use authority in that area, and you can speak to that job, and you can claim it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You can claim your victory in the name of Jesus, but you have to pray in the name of Jesus. You have to pray with the authority that Jesus has given us. You have to pray in His name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you receive that, when you receive, hallelujah, that revelation that it is Him that does all the work, that it is Him that changes the unchangeable, hallelujah. It could be a family member that you need to intercede for. Well, you can do that right now in the name of Jesus. Begin to call those things, hallelujah, that are not as though they were. Begin to call them. Begin to speak, hallelujah, to those things. Begin to command them into your life, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Speak change in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Rabasete. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I feel God saying today, take the limits off, hallelujah. Take the limits off, hallelujah. You've been limiting, if you've been limiting God, take the limits off, hallelujah. Today, hallelujah, take the limits off. Begin to speak those things, hallelujah. Begin to believe, hallelujah, that He will come, hallelujah. Hallelujah, that He will come. He will answer if you only call. He will answer if you only call. Hallelujah. Psalms 91 verse 11. Oh, it says, for He orders His angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands to keep you from striking your foot against the stone. You will trample down lions and poisonous snakes. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. Hallelujah. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love Me. I will protect those who trust in My name. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Let's trust in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Almighty God. Let's trust in the name of Jesus. Almighty God, we give You all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There needs to be some demon stomping going on right now. There needs to be some rebuking of the enemy's plans right now.
There needs to be some rebuking of the enemy's plans in your life right now. You need to be fighting. You need to be fighting. Hallelujah. You need to be fighting. You need not to be sitting there calm. You need to be fighting right now for your freedom. For your freedom. It belongs to you. Come on, let's fight. Begin to fight for your freedom. Begin to press in for your freedom. Begin to claim those things. Begin to battle. Hallelujah. Begin to call those things that are not as though they were. Hallelujah. Begin to press in. Hallelujah. Your change is coming today. The enemy's fleeing. The enemy's getting scared right now. The enemy's getting scared right now. Satan is getting scared. Hallelujah. He's getting scared. Hallelujah. We need to stand up. We need to believe. Hallelujah. Let's believe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Those things right now, the enemy's fleeing. The enemy's fleeing. The enemy's fleeing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He knows that you're aware of your authority. He knows that you're aware now of your authority that you have as a Christian, as a believer. He knows that you're aware. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Should no longer be bound. We should no longer be bound. Hallelujah. We should no longer be bound. So if you keep right now falling in the same sin, even though you know that you're no longer bound, hallelujah, then you need to check yourself. Do I really want to get rid of it? Do I really want to change? Do I really want God to be my Lord? Hallelujah. Do I really want to let God be my Lord because I'm free and I keep falling in the same thing? Hallelujah. Let's begin to check ourselves. Hallelujah. Do we need to speak to the Lord and say, Lord Jesus, just illuminate those things in my life. What am I trying to hold on to? What don't I want to let go of? Hallelujah. That I keep letting a door open in my life to the enemy's devices. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then when you come to the realization of that, start to pray against it. Start to break the enemy's hold over your life. Start to break his hold over your life. You are free. You are free. Hallelujah.